Okay, welcome to the ITP. My name is David Gross, and I'm the director of the Institute for Theoretical Physics at Santa Barbara. And let me tell you a few words about the ITP. The ITP is a Institute for Theoretical Physics, clearly. It's been in operation since 1979. It was set up by the NSF and is supported largely by the NSF and by the University of California. And the purpose of this institute is to provide a national, international forum for theoretical physicists to come together and address the most pressing and interesting problems in physics, broadly defined. And what we do here mostly is run workshops. We have, in addition, mini programs and conferences, and we run a program for researchers in teaching institutions who come here, the ITP Scholar Program, and we have graduate students who come here for a semester to learn physics. But mostly what we do are run large-scale programs in which something like, at any given time, 45 visitors from around the world will come together in a specific field of physics and have complete freedom and time to try to confront some of the most burning issues in physics. This year, for example, during the fall, we're running a program on ITC superconductivity, which is the origin of this conference, and a program on the physics of neutron stars. Next semester, we're going to run a program on string theory, and in addition, at the same time, a program on bioinformatics, which you might not think is physics, but physicists are getting very interested in that subject. There are, at any given time here, maybe 80 physicists working away in this lovely building by the ocean, working at full steam, 20 hours a day, something like that, trying to grapple with some of the most burning issues in physics. A year and a half ago, we decided, as an experiment, to run a special conference directed at high school teachers from around the country, taking advantage of the ordinary conferences that we run and borrowing some of the speakers who happen to come to that conference. The speakers who come to our conferences are often the leading figures in a given field and a wonderful resource, which we decided to take advantage of. And indeed, a year and a half ago, we ran a conference like this on the subject of black holes. It was a great success, and we were encouraged to ask the NSF to provide us with funds to do this on a yearly basis. That conference featured Stephen Hawking and was a great success. I felt it would be important to diversify the areas in which we would try to bring modern physics to our colleagues who are educating the younger generation. And in particular, I was very interested in running a conference in the field of condensed matter physics. Condensed matter physics, or the study of ordinary matter in its myriad of different forms, is the area which, on the one hand, has had the largest impact on modern technology and some of the most dramatic advances in our knowledge in the last century. It's the place where the marvels of quantum mechanics manifest themselves, and where new forms of matter and new organizing principles have been discovered. But unlike astronomy and particle physics, condensed matter physics often suffers by not receiving the attention that it truly deserves for its wonderful physics. The physics that is exhibited in various forms of matter that have been discovered in the laboratory and which have had such an enormous impact on modern technology are not just interesting because of their practical importance, but even more so because of their conceptual beauty and the mysteries of the universe that they have revealed. For somebody like me who works in particle theory and string theory, it is amazing that many of the phenomena and new forms of matter and order that have been discovered in condensed matter systems bear enormous resemblance to many of the mechanisms that control the microscopic interactions of matter. Thus, for example, the confinement of quarks inside nuclei is a mirror image, a dual description of the phenomena that is going to be discussed in today's conference, superconductivity, and the interaction at a deep conceptual level between condensed matter physics and particle physics and even cosmology is very strong and intense. So I thought it would be wonderful to try to bring to a wider audience, and especially those who have some influence over young people, the wonders of this field. And it was very fortunate that we were having a conference and a full program on high-temperature superconductivity. Superconductivity, of course, is one of the most amazing properties of ordinary matter. Many materials, when cooled, exhibit a total loss of electrical resistance. And one of the great understanding that over 40 years ago in simple systems was one of the great triumphs of theoretical physics. One of the former directors of this institute, Bob Schrieffer, was one of those who contributed to the first theory of superconductivity. But about 13 years ago, new materials were discovered in which superconductivity existed at very high temperatures compared to the older materials, even approaching room temperature, which gave rise to enormous excitement for both the possible technological applications as well as hints that this phenomena revealed a new state of matter, which was totally mysterious. It remains totally mysterious. After a week of conference, which has been enormously exciting, it's clear that this field of science is still in its adolescence, perhaps. And I think that's one of the reasons this will be a very interesting meeting for you all, because you're going to be told about a field of science in which the truth is not yet known, the phenomena are marvelous and mysterious, and this is really an ongoing inquiry. So I was delighted when the organizers of this program, who are here in the audience and on the program, agreed and have put together a wonderful conference which is drawing on the speakers at the conference that just concluded to try to bring to your attention some of this very exciting physics. Now, I think I will end here. We are going to have a few other remarks. All of the activities at the ITP are on the web. Everything we do, we try to scan transparencies and record remarks and put them on the web. This is what we regard as an enormous resource for the scientific community, but also for the community at large. And I urge you to try to take advantage of that resource in the future, and as well as to direct your students and colleagues to our website, where we have over 2,000 hours of talks in physics recorded. Now, some of them are very specialized and only of interest to experts, but some of them are at a level that would be hopefully understandable by people who have no science background. We have a series of public lectures, for example, which are now all on the web. So I direct you to our web website for example, the proceedings of the previous conference, for those of you who weren't here a year and a half ago. This one will also be in that format on the web, but in addition, we're trying an experiment, as you might notice, and the cameras in the background, of a webcast. We're broadcasting this over the Apple Learning Center or something like that in real time. So this is going out. I'm not sure who's watching, but but it's out there making its way towards the end of the edges of the solar system at the speed of light. So the other thing I wanted to remind you of, you'll see on the schedule, is the town meeting that we will have at 2:50. That's an occasion for us to exchange views on this format and to get your input and desires and feedback. We did that last time and we learned a lot from it. We have many more questions to ask you, and I'm sure you might have some for us as well. So the speakers and I will be here in the afternoon to have an exchange of views. And of course, hopefully there'll be a lot of other opportunities during the breaks and during lunch for the physicists in the audience to interact with the teachers. So with that, I'd like to ask the chancellor of our university, who has kindly appeared this morning, to offer his words of welcome. Henry? Oh, Henry, I'm sorry, you have to be wired.
Thank you for inviting me. My wife also wanted to, she's not a physicist or a scientist, but she enjoys talking about a listening about a superconductivity, so she joins me as well. We every time when ITP has any functions, we always take it as a first priority out of the pride and the respect of this wonderful organization. This past week, we had several big events on campus. One is this high temperature superconductivity conference. Another is today's event. Another was yesterday. That's also related to teachers. Secretary Richard Riley came to campus, had a little session with us at conference talking about the preparing teacher for tomorrow. And he mentioned about the goal of having schools with plenty of computers, using computers for school education. And he said we need the four stools for this goal. One is to have the hardware, another is software, another is access to the internet, another is the most important one, that is prepare the science teacher for that. And not long ago, the president of Stanford University held a California summit for all of the presidents and the chancellors of all of the independent, private, and the public universities, all three tiers. So we were all there for a whole day. At the end, we found out the biggest problem of the teachers' shortage actually is science teachers, because science, physics, math teachers, chemistry teachers, you have opportunities to work for industry, to earn more money, to do other things, but you choose to dedicate your wisdom and your career in science education. So I'd like to say a big thank you and send you my respect. Our nation needs you, and you are doing the most critical job. But on the other hand, that we also had a resolution that we should beef up the salaries, the compensations for science teachers and all that. So, but I kind of get to understand the surface of the problem, but I'm so glad that our ITP is taking this as a responsibility, working with National Science Foundation. And David, thank you for doing this. I know this after whole weeks of busy week, you already you're spending a weekend to do this. And last year it was a tremendous success. And so I was just inspired, especially at a town meeting last year. I learned a lot about the black holes. I'm an aerospace engineer myself. My moon is the farthest place for me, but the black hole is even, you're talking about light years. So I think scientists like mystery, and engineers hate mystery. Just like to get things done. So but now I'm becoming kind of like mystery. I like to know the mystery about superconductivity. So I'm here to enjoy myself as well. I hope you'll benefit from this. You'll become more inspired science teacher. I know you're coming from all over the country, and especially this is almost the end of the summer. So this is a nice place. Why don't you just combine your working and leisure together? If you're going to find a place for leisure, I don't think you can find a better place to spend a weekend here. And I think our temperature is so even here, just like a springtime for you. And thank you and welcome. I had a marching order from David that I forgot to say that I would like to first I guess I'd like to say a few thank you. I'd like to thank our coordinators for the last week's conference, Drs. Callen, Dr. Laughlin, Dr. Lee, and Dr. Scalapino. And I also like to thank today's coordinator, Matt Fisher. I don't know if is Matt here. Yeah, Matt. Thank you. Matt, you do so many things for ITP and the physics department. I appreciate it. And also Professor Doug Scalapino. David, I would like to thank you. Without your leadership, this would not be possible. I would also like to thank our four speakers, Professor Laura Green right here, and Professor John Kirtley. Yeah, and Dr. Paul Grant, I just saw you walked in, and of course Professor Robert Laughlin from Stanford, our Nobel laureate. Thank you so much. And now, before I turn this over, I would like to introduce respected colleague, Doug Scalapino. You know, he was the 1998 Lilienfeld Prize winner. He is highly regarded here, and it is my honor to turn the podium over to him.